Have you ever been to the real Super Bowl? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Long before there was an NFL, long before there was a Super Bowl of football teams, there was a Super Bowl on Mount Carmel. And I want us to be encouraged today as we learn lessons from Elijah, because how God used Elijah in this instance is the way God wants to use you, the way God wants to use me to stand up for Him, to be a force for Him, to have holy boldness in a world that is getting increasingly dark and wicked. There is truth, there is blessed, there is hope.
So many people today live the same way as the people did in Elijah's day. They're riding the fence of indecision and compromise. They have one foot in the world and the other in the church, on Sunday only. It's time to get off the fence. And just as the battle at Mount Carmel proved the Lord is God and King, it's time to follow Him with all our hearts once again. This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, and the message today entitled, The Super Bowl at Mount Carmel. It's from the powerful 8-message series from Pastor Jeff called Holy Boldness, Lessons from Elijah, the Prophet of Fire. And today we're going to hear part 1 of this lesson, and part 2 we'll hear on Monday. You can always catch up anytime you miss a broadcast when you go to fromhisheart.org, click the radio tab. Now, this series is also our special gift of thanks to you for your support of any amount this month. I'll tell you more about that later. Now, though, open your Bible to 1 Kings chapter 18. Here's Pastor Jeff to begin the lesson, The Super Bowl at Mount Carmel.
You know, I ran across some statistics I thought were interesting. It says, of the 10 most watched programs in television history, 9 have been Super Bowls. You have about 111 million people that watch the same program, the Super Bowl, on Super Bowl Sunday. Well, listen, long before there was an NFL, long before there was a Super Bowl of football teams, there was a Super Bowl on Mount Carmel. It happened in the 800s BC when wicked King Ahab, sat on the throne of Israel, and Elijah, the prophet of the Lord, called out the prophets of Baal for a contest to see who really is God. Let the real God please stand up. And it happened on Mount Carmel, which is an interesting place. It's a mountain ridge right there by the Mediterranean Sea. It's in between Israel and the land of the Phoenicians. It's kind of on the border. The Phoenicians worship Baal, and Israel obviously was supposed to worship Jehovah God. But Elijah stands for Yahweh, and Ahab stands for Baal. And the question is, how long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow Him. But if Baal is God, follow him. So if you remember our story, Ahab is king. He marries Jezebel, which is like marrying the devil. I mean, she is awful. She's got the devil's initials carved in her heart, and she wants to eradicate the worship of Jehovah God in Israel, and she wants to replace that worship with the worship of Baal and his female consort, Asherah. And so she has the 450 prophets of Baal, and she has the 400 prophets of the Asherah who eat at her table. And she is all upset. She hates Elijah. Why? Because Elijah called out Ahab, her husband, and said, thus says the Lord, there's not going to be any rain until I give thee the word because of your sin. Because God is not going to bless the land of Israel when you're sinning the way you are. And so there was no rain. For 3.5 years, no rain. Now, God provided for his servant Elijah. First, he took him to the brook Kerith, and he had the ravens feed him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he would drink the water by the brook. But then the brook dried up, and God sent him to Zarephath, which is up by Sidon, where Jezebel's daddy, Ethbaal, he's the king. And so as a friend of mine said, you know, it's like they're trying to kill Elijah. So God places him in plain sight. It's hiding in plain sight. I'm going to be right there by Jezebel's daddy and in Zarephath. And they never found him. God made sure he was protected. Zarephath means refinery. And God was refining his prophet in the time he spent in Zarephath. And now he is ready to go. It says that the widow that he stayed with says, "Now I know that you are a man of God, and the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth." And the scripture says this, starting in verse 1 of chapter 18. "Now it came about after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, 'Go, show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the face of the earth.' So Elijah went to show himself to Ahab. Now the famine was severe in Samaria." Samaria is the capital city of Israel, of the northern kingdom called Israel. The 10 tribes that split from the 2 tribes, their capital is in Samaria. "And Ahab called Obadiah, who was over the household." Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. "For it came about when Jezebel destroyed the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them in 50s in a cave and provided them with bread and water. Then Ahab said to Obadiah, 'Go through the land to all the springs of water and to all the valleys. Perhaps we will find grass and keep the horses and mules alive and not have to kill some of the cattle.' So they divided the land between them to survey it. Ahab went one way by himself and Obadiah went another way by himself. Now as Obadiah was on the way, behold, Elijah met him and he recognized him and fell on his face and says, 'Is this you, Elijah, my master?' And he said to him, 'It is I. Go say to your master, behold, Elijah is here.'" Now look in verse 16. "So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came about when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said to him, 'Is this you, you troubler of Israel?' And he said, 'I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, because you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and you have followed the Baals. Now then, send and gather to me all Israel at Mount Carmel, together with 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of the Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table.' So Ahab sent a message among all the sons of Israel and brought the prophets together at Mount Carmel. And Elijah came near to all the people and said, 'How long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him.' But the people did not answer him a word." We're getting ready for the Super Bowl on Mount Carmel. God versus Baal. It's a contest to determine who really is God. Now we're in a series on the prophet Elijah, the prophet of fire. We're calling it Holy Boldness. And I want us to be encouraged today as we learn lessons from Elijah, because how God used Elijah in this instance is the way God wants to use you, the way God wants to use me to stand up for him, to be a force for him, to have holy boldness in a world that is getting increasingly dark and wicked. We need some men and women, some boys and girls, to be people who will say, "I'll stand up for Jesus. I am willing to stand in the gap and be the man God wants me to be, the woman, the boy, the girl God wants me to be." So three lessons today. First lesson, we must not shy away from confronting people in love. Elijah had holy boldness, as we stated. Elijah didn't mind confronting people in love. He spoke the truth in love. The scripture says in Ephesians chapter 4, we're supposed to do that. Speaking the truth in love, we grow up every person to be complete in Christ. Jesus was full of grace and truth. Jesus spoke truth. Jesus would come. He's love personified, but he would come and he said, you know, a light has come into the world, but men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds are evil. And so they don't come to me. I like what one person said about the truth. He said, "Truth is hate to those who hate the truth." What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to come and we present the truth, speak the truth in love. People may not like it. You know, Elijah wasn't everybody's favorite guy, but that's our command from the Lord. So, very first lesson, we must not shy away from confronting people in love. Elijah confronted Ahab. Now, when he meets Ahab, Ahab accuses him. "You're the one that's bringing all this trouble on Israel." And Elijah looked at him and said, "It's not me, pal. It's you and your sins. You have forsaken God, and that's why there's no rain. It's not because I just willy-nilly said, well, I think I'm gonna go after Ahab today and tell him no more rain. No, it's God who led me to tell you he's shutting up the heavens. There is no rain. Why? Because of your sin. That's why." Now he's bold because he says that to the king. And then he says to the king, "Listen, here's what you need to do, Ahab. You need to let the people know, gather up the people and let them know there's gonna be a showdown on Mount Carmel. Get all the prophets of Baal, the 450 prophets of Baal, all the prophets of the Asherah, 400 prophets of that female goddess." You know, you had Baal and Asherah, and that was his female consort. And Baal is the god of fertility, so you have to have a female consort if you're gonna be the god of fertility. And Baal was the one who controlled the rain, or supposedly controlled the rain. But it was pretty embarrassing because Baal hadn't brought rain for 3.5 years because God said there's not gonna be any rain. And so let's have a contest, and we're going to decide and see once and for all who God really is. So look at verse 21 again. Elijah came near to all the people. There were no doubt thousands of people there that gathered at Mount Carmel. This is a big deal. "How long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him, but if Baal, follow him." And the people did not answer him a word. They didn't say anything. They were just quiet. They didn't want to answer. Now, here's the thing: when you confront people and speak the truth to people in love, you need to remember this about people. Lots of people want to ride the fence of non-commitment. They don't wanna make a decision. They don't wanna make a commitment when it comes to the Lord. They just wanna ride the fence of non-commitment. The fences make pretty bad seats. That's not a fun ride when you ride the fence. But people wanna be on the fence of, well, I'm just not gonna decide. And so when he says, "How long will you hesitate between two opinions?" That's a question. They don't answer him a word. They just keep silent, because they don't want to make a commitment.
Does the type of person Pastor Jeff just described define you today? He'll return in just a minute to continue pointing out the serious nature of a non-committed life. Stay with us. Today's message is entitled "The Super Bowl at Mount Carmel," and it's from the series "Holy Boldness: Lessons from Elijah, the Prophet of Fire." And of course, Elijah was one of the only two people who went to heaven without dying, Enoch being the other. Heaven couldn't wait for him to come home, and he wants you and me to come home too, one day. But until then, there is a lot more that our Lord in heaven longs to see happen in our lives now. He wants us to have unashamed, unhindered, holy boldness in telling people about his great love for us. How are you doing in that department? Pastor Jeff Shreve's 8-message series, Holy Boldness, will inspire you to abide in Christ and help others to be ready for the rapture. It's our gift to you this month to say thank you for your support of any amount. And with that gift, we'll also send you his popular booklet, Unveiling the Mystery of Prayer. To get both, call 866-40-BIBLE. 866-40-BIBLE, or go to fromhisheart.org. The series is available in CD, DVD, MP3 download, or as a USB flash drive. Your choice. Know that when you give, everything you give goes to produce and distribute these programs on stations across the country every day and around the world, plus your hometown. So thank you for being a part of the ministry that is sharing real truth, love, and hope from God's heart to yours. Now let's get back to our message today, the Super Bowl at Mount Carmel. Here's Pastor Jeff.
You know, one of the things that we do in our membership class, we just had one a couple of weeks ago, we ask everyone who's getting ready to join the church to make a commitment in writing, not to us, to the Lord and to the Lord's church. And the commitment, they put their name on it, and it says, "Hey, I'm making a commitment to follow Christ. I'm making a commitment that says the Bible is gonna be my authority in my life. I'm making a commitment to support the work of the church in my finances and in my speech." and I'm making a commitment to be here and to participate. You know, we got that from the book of Nehemiah. He made the people sign a document that they were all in with the Lord. And I tell people, I said, listen, you know, these things are between you and God. I don't know what anyone gives, but here's what the Bible says to do as far as giving goes. This is what I do as far as giving goes. This is what I'm challenging you to do. Whether you do it or not, that's between you and God. But we want you to get off the fence of non-commitment. See, the fence of non-commitment's really for unbelievers. They haven't decided yet to follow the Lord. Have you decided? Or are you still on the fence of non-commitment? But you know, for believers, they like to ride the fence too, but it's a little different fence. It's the fence of compromise. The fence of compromise. It's saying, well, you know, I got 1 foot in the world and 1 foot in the church, and I'm just kind of playing both sides. That's exactly what was going on here. That's what Elijah told the people. He said, listen, why are you hesitating, limping between two opinions? Who is really God? Some of you are following Baal, but then you're following Jehovah, and you're thinking you can do both. You can't do both. Baal and Jehovah are totally different. So you can't follow both of them. Jesus said no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or cling to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and riches, which so many people try to do. Listen, you can't serve God and riches. You can't serve God and Baal. You can't serve God and the God of pleasure. It is God alone, or it's not God at all. The throne room of the Lord is not a duplex. He's not moonlighting on the throne. He's not saying, well, you know, if you'll let me be Lord for half a day, that'd be good with me. No, it's all or nothing with him. And so many who go to church on Sunday, they're still playing games with the Lord. They're compromising. As the little poem says, they're praising God on Sunday, but they'll be all right on Monday. It's just a little habit they've acquired. Is that true of you? You know what the Lord said about that in the book of the Revelation, the last letter to the last church, the church of the Laodiceans? He said, you are neither hot nor cold. I would that you were hot or cold, but because you are lukewarm, I'm gonna spit you out of my mouth. Literally, I'm gonna vomit you out of my mouth. You make me sick. Why? Because you say I'm rich and am in need of nothing, and you do not know that you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And you have gotten lukewarm in your relationship with me. You're just a spiritual compromiser, and you're riding the fence of compromise, and you're not all in for me. You're still kind of hedging your bets. You're hesitating between two opinions, and you're saying, well, I want to follow the Lord a little bit, but I want to follow the world a little bit. I want to be in both worlds. James chapter 4, verse 4, you adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Listen, if you're hesitating between two opinions, and you're not totally sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're making friends with the world, just know that you're an enemy of God, because friendship with the world is hostility toward God. Hey, we need to speak the truth in love and confront people in love. Second lesson we learn from Elijah. Not only do we confront people in love, but we must not shy away from asking for a decision. When we confront people, then we ask people to make a decision. How long will you hesitate between two decisions? If the Lord is God, then you follow him. But if the Lord isn't God, if Baal is God, then follow Baal. But Jehovah and Baal are going in different directions, so you can't follow both. And then he says in verse 22, Elijah said to the people, I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Now he asked for all the prophets of the Asherah to come too, the 400, but I think only the 450 prophets of Baal came. Now let them give us two oxen, and let them choose one ox for themselves and cut it up and place it on the wood and put no fire under it. And I will prepare the other ox and lay it on the wood, and I will not put a fire under it. Then you will call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, he is God. And all the people answered and said, that's a good idea. They didn't say anything in verse 21, but now they said, okay, this is a test of fire. That's a good idea. Let's see. Now, here's the thing too, being at Mount Carmel, the Phoenicians, they worship Baal. And they said that Mount Carmel was the sacred ground of Baal. So Elijah chooses Mount Carmel, which is right on the border between Israel and the land of the Phoenicians, and its home field advantage for the prophets of Baal. They're thinking, man, we got this whipped. This is Baal country right here. This is Baal territory on Mount Carmel. So he said, this is what we're gonna do. And we're gonna make a decision, and we're not leaving here today until we decide who the Lord really is. And if the Lord is God, then you follow him. But if Baal is God, then you follow him. Here's the thing, you get off the fence. No one is gonna be on the fence after today. And the people said, that's a good idea. Hey, we must not shy away from pushing people and encouraging people and nudging people to make a decision concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, because people need to decide. Now, notice this about the decision. The decision is critical. It's critical. Man, maybe you're here and you've been riding the fence. Maybe you're riding the fence of non-commitment. You say, you know, I've been coming to this church for years and years and years. I've never joined. I've never gotten involved in a Bible study class. I just don't really want to commit to anything. Or maybe you're on the fence of compromise and you say, well, you know, I've joined, but I know there's some things in my life that aren't pleasing to God, but nobody's perfect. And I know that I do this and I do that and I do the other, and I've given a place in my heart to sin. But you know, then I come to church and I kind of put on the Christian face. And so I think God's okay with that. Yeah, you're lukewarm. He vomits you out of his mouth. He hates that. And so here's the thing you need to know about the decision. The decision is critical because heaven and hell weigh in the balance. That's how critical it is. What is your life, the scripture says, but a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away? You don't know how much time you have. This might be the last message that you ever hear. And so the decision is critical. But not only is the decision critical, the decision is unavoidable. It's unavoidable. As much as you'd like to say, well, I don't want to decide, you are going to decide. I'm going to make you decide today, because that's what Elijah did. And every time we gather together, there needs to be a time of decision and to know it is unavoidable. See, a decision not to decide is a decision against the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, he who is not with me is against me. And he who doesn't gather with me scatters abroad. And as much as you think, well, I'm just gonna sit on the fence of indecision, you can't. Remember this about the fence, whether it's the fence of non-commitment or the fence of compromise, the devil owns the fence. The devil owns the fence. If he's got you on the fence, he's got you exactly where he wants you.
If you find yourself straddling the spiritual fence, now is the time to hop off and give it all to Christ. The Lord is reaching out to you. He's offering you two things. One, forgiveness of your sins. Two, freedom, real freedom to live for him. The Bible says all who call upon the Lord shall be saved. How do we call upon him? Through repentance and faith, surrendering our hearts and lives to him, knowing that he will save us and provide all we need to live a life that brings peace to our hearts and glory to God. There's a lot of information we've got for you online at fromhisheart.org. Click the Why Jesus link. And there you'll also be able to download some free materials to help you get started in your Christian life. Again, go to fromhisheart.org, click the Why Jesus link. And God bless you as you begin your new life in Christ. Well, today's message was part one of the lesson entitled The Super Bowl at Mount Carmel. Pastor Jeff will have part two on Monday. That's when we'll open God's Word to share real truth, love, and hope from His heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more at fromhisheart.org.